GM, everyone. It is the a show without Baroque and OSF today. I have brought in two, I would say, exceptional. Jesus Christ, it is loud. Baroque literally shouts the hell out of this thing at the start. Yeah, I brought in two incredible guests to fill in for OSF and Baroque today. It's a slightly different show. I brought in Cows, who's been on this show a few times before. He's one of the co-founders of Canary Labs.
Morning.
And Spencer, well known for being, one of the best NFT traders in the market right now. And now, I don't know, also does some co-hosting of morning radio shows. So I thought you'd be perfect for it. Good to have you both.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you. I really fixated on, you said, one of the best NFT traders right now, because, you know, you guys are the original best NFT traders. And back in the day, there's no way I could compete. But now that you've moved on to shitcoins and all sorts of other stuff, you know, you've retired from that mantle and you're happy to pass it along. Was that the energy I was picking up on here?
Maybe. I think you definitely dabble in a few different things. Let's be honest. The fund seems to be doing a bit more than just NFTs. I think you're gonna surpass us at some stage. Who knows? I think it's a good day to have it, because we haven't had the show for the last couple of days. We left and everything was doing okay, and then it seemingly got a little bit worse over the last 48 hours. Definitely not a great market to open up with today. Maybe we can just go through what we think the fun things are happening. Obviously, meme coins, NFTs, airdrops, lots of stuff still happening over the last 48 hours. And, you know, a little bit of red. I still think we're going to come out of it the other side. But we're going to go in how we normally do this show. So we're going to go through the top five main things that's been going on in the market. Then we'll go from there. I think the first thing to say is just how weak the market's been. Like, this is probably the weakest a few days that we've seen for months, really, right? Like, I don't think I can really remember the period where it felt like we have that fear back. I was seeing today that Bitcoin has been up for seven consecutive straight months. And I think this is the first time where it's felt like, ooh, you know, it could we could take a little bit of a dip. How are you two both feeling about it?
I mean, look, like, I think that, like, obviously price is going down, right? I think we saw some fear this weekend, but it's also kind of healthy. And I think, like, one thing that is really a tough mind shift for a lot of people on CT is, like, CT has no impact on the narrative anymore on Bitcoin. Like, it didn't towards the end of last cycle, right? We saw institutions come in. Then, like, all the institutions left during the bear market, and it suddenly, like, CT kind of mattered again. But, like, now, like, there is a game being played that you are not privy to, right? And, like, I mean that as in, like, you as in the listener, but you as in us as well. As, like, nobody in crypto is playing the level of a game that, like, the real players that have stepped in are playing, right? And I think one thing that I wonder is, like, what degree of what we see going on right now is, like, true retail outflows, right? So obviously we had inflow, big outflow, right? But, like, there's two ways I think you can view it. First is like, Bitcoin went down in price. Did people who yeeted some of their retirement account into Bitcoin get scared and are pulling it out? Or did someone very smartly, like, put a bunch of Bitcoin, like, if I was a big institution and I, with the ETF coming, right? You know, I manage an institution, but not like a trillions of dollars asset manager, right? It feels very tempting to have put a bunch of money into the ETF and then waited till there was this whatever, lots of hype around big inflows, shorted it, and then just pulled a bunch out. Like, that seems like a really obvious trade. So what we'll have to see, right, is, like, I could see a world where it's just like, whenever Bitcoin goes up, there's inflows. Whenever Bitcoin goes down, there's outflows. Like, that seems reasonable to me based on, like, the assumption that it is retail driven. I could also see a world where we see, like, shenanigans that make almost no sense unless you assume there's one very large actor, like, doing them, right? I don't think we've conclusively figured out which of those two it is. And I'm curious what you guys might think would be indicators to look at, but it's just not obvious to me at all what's going on at the level of the ETFs, right? My view has just been, like, obviously the Bitcoin ETF has been net bullish. And so, like, I'm mostly like, we're at a point in that arc where I just don't know what's going on, right? And I don't think it's easy to derive what's going on. Whereas, like, a more interesting, like, bet you can make is, like, will there be an Ethereum ETF is an interesting bet.
Yeah, look, I think I agree with you. It feels like we get the information delayed. Like the price moves and then we find out there's been an outflow. So you're always kind of playing catch up with the ETF data from a day-to-day basis. It does feel as though the real thing that's happened is that the Grayscale outflows have picked up again. Interestingly, Genesis looks like they settled with Gemini to pay customers. A lot of people have said, again, they had a big GBTC position here, and that's caused a lot of the outflows in order to pay that settlement. And that may, again, slow. I think Eric Balkunas, who's like the main Bloomberg analyst, was pointing to that. The BlackRock inflows had slowed, but then they did pick up again decently again yesterday. So I don't know if it was necessarily anything more than just this could be temporary. The Bloomberg analysts seem to point to that. But this is definitely something to be aware of. Like, I think it's very, very difficult to predict this market. But if these outflows continue, I think we could still go a decent amount lower. You are seeing like more stable coins being minted, like the stable coin supply is like up only at this stage. So there's clearly money coming in, which isn't just the ETFs. But this has definitely been the main narrative, at least for the last 2 months. So I definitely think be aware of that. I don't think we're going to like crash down, but obviously we have the halving in just a few weeks, which I think could lead to more institutional inflows ahead of that. But it's definitely a difficult one to predict. And I agree with you. It's maybe not even one that you want to predict too much because you're always going to be behind the time. It's better to play for other things. What do you think, Ben? Like, how are you seeing the market right now?
I think I agree with both of you. You're always like the guys who are actually trading these flows have the info first and either hedge it or take the other side of it. So you're always playing catch up. But similarly, I think that narrative is like done. Like the narrative of everybody just waiting for that inflow number and then it trading up or down. I feel like we're moving past that. I think the narrative will start to form around the halving, around like some form of supply crisis for Bitcoin. And yeah, especially once miner selling has slowed down, I think that, you know, there needs to be this new narrative. We can't focus on what was the narrative of the past like 3 months for the rest of the year. So I think people should be like looking to the next thing rather than like focusing on the thing that's happening right now, i.e. like, oh, today was inflow, today was outflow, etc. I think this happens in any financial market where like the people with the most volume, the more volume you get, the more information you get about who's buying and selling. And that's kind of the benefit and some of the payment of being a market maker, because then you're more informed and you can take better positions and just know where the market's going in real time. And then everybody else is acting on a delay of, you know, if you're super, super connected, you're acting on a delay of like 10 minutes. And if you're only logging into your Coinbase once a day, it's a delay of like whatever, 12 hours. So, and everybody is at a different point on that spectrum. But I think what's smarter is, yeah, to look forward rather than like in that 12-hour delay and think what's happening next. I do think halving is strong narrative. I don't know whether that outperformed or underperformed expectations, to be honest. Everybody has got that like four cycle chart of what happens around the halving every time, and it feels like a kind of consensus view, but it's hard to argue with like the numbers around if demand is there, which is helped by these ETFs, and supply does dwindle, then everybody knows what happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. The halving is kind of a known, and I don't really like those overly simplistic graphs. It's like, oh, it happened. This is what happened last halving, so it's going to happen this time. When your data set is whatever it is, like four or five times, like it's not really
there wasn't an ETF. Like, yeah. There wasn't this thing that creates. Also, like, and this is the other thing too, is like, you know, inflow, outflow you guys talk about, but like, it's all just GBTC unwinding, right? There's a couple of moments where there's other outflows, and I think those are really interesting because, like, at least for me, right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I own some of these ETFs in like a Roth IRA that just like, it's an easier way to buy them, right? And that's not a thing that I look at. And I think like, that's the bull thesis, right? Is like, what is the bull thesis of an ETF? Is like, yeah, people are literally just not going to look at these accounts, right? That's why it's such, I think, a big fear monger thing when there is outflows, because it's like, whoa, then if that's not the thing that's going on, like, what's the thing that's going on? And so like, again, like I would look at on that graph that you had up before, Mando, like what are the couple of red that is not GBTC, right? Like GBTC is just an unwinding of a bankruptcy thing. Like this is not really related to the performance of it. And so, Kallus, I kind of agree with your point. Like, this shouldn't matter, but it like does. Like, why is it that we care so much about? Like, clearly the market's reacting to these things, and you know, it's just like, it's a weird thing. And then, you know, we look at the halvening coming off. Obviously, this is a big narrative. I think the question is, what is the narrative after the halvening, right? And I could see two. I could see one really strong one is like, if we don't see the big dip after the halvening as we had in the past, it's like that is a proof point that there's a big structural change. Yeah, so we have this. So we have like literally no outflows from like,
outflows. These are all buying. It's just different levels of inflows, really.
Yeah, yeah. And you see like BTCO like has one red day of 10 million, right? Like, I'm curious what that is. Like, that's something to look at, right? Like what are the red days in the others? And there's not many, right? And so if you just think of this as like, okay, like the GBTC outflows like matter now, but like this is a fixed amount of like what could outflow, right? Like, there is not in the same way a fixed amount of what could inflow if you assume the inflows are legitimately like retirement accounts, right? Like retirement accounts, like you might think, oh, like GBTC has all this money, right? But like at the end of the day, retirement accounts have unlimited amounts of money relative to whatever Grayscale held at any point in the past. Like, these are not, the amount that you can outflow from Grayscale is orders of magnitude less than the amount that you can inflow from retirement accounts.
Yeah, I think that's something to actually pick up on. People were getting worried about how big this is. They've already lost, I think, about 60% of their AUM. So this is definitely going to be a slightly slowing or diminishing. You would assume this would be diminishing, and it had been diminishing for a while. It just then picked up because of this Genesis bankruptcy agreement with Gemini. So I think it's just something that you're going to have to accept. I agree with you. We do kind of need to search for a new narrative, and I wondered what that is. It felt like Solana being used was a narrative, and I think will continue to be a medium-term narrative here. The ETH ETF, interestingly, the ETH ETF, we didn't have a show the last couple of days, but the picture for ETH has become a little bit more cloudy, I would say, for that. We were already a little bit downbeat on that the possibility of that happening, but there was reports, kind of unsurprising reports, that the SEC is going to try and subpoena a bunch of different companies in the ETH ecosystem and trying to label ETH basically as a security. I don't really know what that means medium term. I think a lot of people, you know, Gens has been smashed around in the court so far, so it does seem slightly surprising that he's going to try and go for it again, but he may just be playing for time here just before, you know, the next election. I would be unsurprised if that was the case. But ETH actually hasn't perform that badly since then. It's kind of been the outperformer out of ETH, Bitcoin, and Solana. So I don't really know. Like, maybe
I
that
think
was
Gensler's poor performance in the court's probably helping ETH. Everyone's like, oh wow, he's taking ETH to court. Well, we're gonna win that. So it's probably like an upside risk, if anything.
You just gotta look at it, right? Like, in like, it's going to be something that plays out. There's going to be drama around it. It's never going to be linear. I think people got super bearish this weekend suddenly, but like, I don't think, like, we in crypto are like, oh, Solana has all this volume, all this attention, right? But like, the orders of magnitude of Solana attention is like, it's retail attention, right? Solana has this big challenge of having been named in the Ripple lawsuit. Like, how does it come back from that? Like, is that a big enough barrier? I think that's a bigger barrier to an ETF. Like, I don't think we see people talking about it. Also, like, I feel people forget, like, ETFs have been filed. Like, this is a thing that's in motion, right? Like, and also, like, ETFs almost never get rejected anyway, as we saw with the Bitcoin thing. Like, everyone was talking about, like, it just seems so obvious to me. It's like, really, they're going to, like, psyop you into thinking this isn't going to happen again? Like, everyone who was like, oh, like, will the Bitcoin ETF not happen? Like, oh, like, no, like, it happened. Like, they never miss. They never get these things rejected. Like, why in the world would the ETH one happen? And like, maybe it goes up and down, but like, to me, that is the strongest narrative after the Bitcoin ETF narrative. And like, especially with how things have already played out, like, I would be shocked to see people like the thing that's been solved now is, when Bitcoin ETF happened, everyone was like, is this going to be a real narrative? Are there really going to be inflows? All this stuff, right? And like, the answer is just unequivocally yes. Like, there are significant, meaningful inflows. There's meaningful buy pressure on Bitcoin from the ETF. Like, I don't think that that's a question that you can really debate anymore. It's like, this happened. Like, it exists, right? And so now when you look at ETH ETF, it's no longer a double-edged sword of like, will it be approved and will it matter? If it's approved, it matters for sure, right? Now the question is just, will it be approved, right? And so I think we're even in a less uncertain place than we were before on Bitcoin.
I don't think it will be approved at the next approval, but I do think it will be probably one of these cases where it gets rejected, but under a temporary sort of, it'll be sort of like this, like it will be resolved via some sort of court case relatively quickly, or at least over the next year, and then we will probably get an ETF at some stage. So I don't necessarily think it would be a bearish rejection. I think it'll be one of these ones where you'll get a headline like ETF set to be rejected, and then the reason will be pretty flimsy or easily fought in a court of law, and then people will really just see that as a path to it being accepted. Very similar to like what happened with Bitcoin, right? Everyone was waiting on the Grayscale decision, and then a lot of the rally actually happened kind of H2 last year, right? Just on the expectation that it was gonna happen. So I think we probably could get a scenario like that. But I agree with you. Like if that does happen, I think ETH's got a very good chance of getting one in the medium term. The other interesting one that people got bullish about over the last 24 hours was Doge. Coinbase went to list Doge with the CFTC, right? For futures trading. And yeah, People were like, well, this could be a path to Doge ETF. Do you think a Doge ETF could come before the ETH ETF?
It's not unreasonable, right? Like Doge doesn't have staking is the thing that works for it, right? Like, you actually see this with meme coins, right? This is the whole Solana meme coin thing. It's like meme coins are easier to list on exchanges because they don't have people behind them. There isn't execution risk. They like all these other things, right? So like you see CEXs listing Doge, like meme coins much more aggressively than anything else. And like, that's not random. Like there's a reason behind that. It's because they're easier to list. They have less risk of being security. Like maybe the ETF world also starts listing, you know, Doge, right? But a genuine question here, Mando, do you think if there was a Doge ETF, is Doge the ultimate beneficiary of that? Or would other meme coins, now they see a path to being listed, like is WIF the ultimate beneficiary of a Doge ETF?
Yeah, I when I saw that headline, I did think that meme coins in general would rally. But I agree with you. I mean, I think we're quite a way away from a Doge ETF, but I would agree with you that the path for a lot of these meme coins may be simpler than a lot of L1s, for example, in terms of being classed as a commodity or a security. Like it's very difficult to say that there's like a team behind Doge who are like working to make it better. Like it's just, I don't think it would pass many of the security rules. And obviously it's also like a fork of Bitcoin, right? So it has a slightly cleaner path there in terms of like proof of stake versus proof of work. So yeah, I think you could get a Doge ETF. I genuinely do. I don't know if it would be the next one. I think a lot of people spoke about maybe you'll get a Ripple ETF because they actually like basically won their court case. But who wants a Ripple ETF, let's be honest. So I do think, yeah, this one or ETH would be the most interesting for me as like the ones next.
Do we think they're important though, the smaller ones? Like I feel like the ETH ETF is going to be to the ETH ETF is to Bitcoin ETF as silver ETF is to gold ETF. Like gold ETF is fucking huge. Silver ETF is like a total market cap is like a 20th of the size. And nobody really says, well, some people do, but very few people be like, oh, I'm in the precious metal trades for inflation hedge, and you know I'm equally, or I'm like market cap weighted to gold, silver, blah 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 blah, platinum, etc., etc. Do you think, like, I kind of think that all of these things are just going to be non-events in a way?
I agree that I think even the ETF analysts are being like, yeah, it's going to be ETH is going to have a much smaller demand. I mean, the ETH futures ETFs have been much smaller as a traded asset class than the Bitcoin futures ones as well. So I agree with you, it's diminishing, but it also just sets it up for the future more than anything. Like you're also counting for like future demand here, I think, a little bit.
What does that mean exactly? Well, like,
right now the people who manage your pension funds are probably boomers, but like, within time you could very easily see these become more of an asset class even for traditional finance, and with these rails in place it allows that to happen a lot easier, I think.
Well, and also like you got to think, like, what are the most common and big products in the financial industry, right? Are like, they're increasingly like passively managed index funds, right? And so once you have like a Bitcoin, ETH, and Doge. Like I imagine you then have a Bitcoin, ETH, Doge product that has like weighted shares across those ETFs. And like,
yeah,
like I think one of the things, no, but I genuinely think this is a meaningful thing, is like, you see how are financial institutions going to package these products to their customers, right? And I think a lot of the times you're going to package it as like, you in your diversified portfolio of everything, which we've picked, right, like should have some weighted crypto basket, right? And they really like to say weighted crypto basket, even though it's probably going to be mostly Bitcoin, right? And like the idea that they are doing some sort of like wizardry and math that has selected for you the perfect basket of exposure is like the thing they're pitching you on, which obviously anyone who like knows anything knows is not the case. Like why is it that like you have S&P weighted the way you do in most of the S&P exposure that like a bank will give you? It's just like they have chosen this, right? And so, and you're like, oh, like if you can sit down and have the guy be like, just buy Bitcoin, right? Like, okay, whatever, you can go figure that out on your own. But the bank's like, oh no, we have all this knowledge. We're picking and choosing the best, most performing, blah, 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 blah. And really they're just spot buying at a certain percentage. And like, we all know that's just like, you know, don't look at the man behind the curtain kind of thing. But I think like giving them more products to push from like financial advisors could be a really interesting outcome here.
Yeah, they're all driven by fees. I agree with that. Like they'll find a way to get AUM for the ETH ETF if they're going to get fees from it. So
this
I think
probably what the silver guy, the guys who own silver mines said. They were like, yeah, man, our ETF is going to be big for the future.
You might be like, I agree with you to a certain extent. Like
the whole thing will grow, but like it'll be like Highlander. There can only be one. Like Bitcoin is the daddy, and it's going to take like a gross amount of market share. And all of the other ones, it will be, I just don't know if they'll be like price, like it won't drive the price in the same way that the ETF narrative has on Bitcoin, or it might not.
I think that's fair. I think that is fair. The other thing that we had over the last 24 hours was kind of a lot of positive sentiment around Coinbase. The first one was this BlackRock fund, which has been launched on ETH. I think that was a partnership with Coinbase. They're now, BlackRock's now got its own stablecoin, guys. Like you can invest, it has yield. I think they're investing in treasuries on the other end, which is kind of a weird because it came out on the same day that Gensler was basically going after ETH as a security. BlackRock's just launching a fund on ETH. And then we had a bit of a base season, which seemingly lasted for about 24 hours. and then all kind of died. Like what do you think about base as a, the memes, I have to say the memes are, they're kind of mid. As a, like a meme, like I think it's like Brett is the main meme. They're not even really memes; they're just like names.
There was a great tweet which is like the memes on Base literally look like they've been developed by like an office full of like 40-year-old boomers, like on purpose. And it's just like, yeah, that hits home. That hits deep.
I think like with Base, right? Like, I mean, I'm just optimistic about like what the role of Base is in the ecosystem, but like it's exactly that. I think it's like on the nose, right? Is like, yes, we are a bunch of like boomers who got together and like we are doing the boomer thing for you. And like so much of what is happening that is positive for crypto is due to Coinbase like being the champion of crypto in the regulatory 100%. World. 100%. That like I will take mid memes if it means that. Like it's acceptable to me. Is that like it is mid for the same reason that Coinbase is winning the lawsuits. So like
the same lawyers probably thinking up the fucking ring.
Yeah, yeah, dude.
I agree with everything you said, but I think you should never settle for anything less than absolute excellence when it comes to memes. But
I have to say, if Brett gets to like multiple billions, I'll just be like, God, like, what have we done here?
Like, memes are very hard to do on purpose. I feel like if you're like, holy shit, people are making a ton of money on memes, let's make one in the next 24 hours and make a ton of money. Like, that's just not a good business model. Like, memes kind of erupt organically and because something happens out there that the community rallies around. But it feels like the type of thing that the harder you try, the worse you are. And I feel like we're at that stage of the meme coin cycle where, like, we're very much like buyer beware here, I think, of any of these things because someone's trying to take your money.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I agree with that sentiment. I do feel as though the memes on Solana, they just go through new metas like every day. There's like five different ones a day, whereas some of the other coins are, it is a bit more like stable. Like, oh, you buy the first dog coin of the original owner, and that's what it is. Like Solana, it's like there's a new thing each week. There's been some rogue ones over the last 48 hours, but it's definitely feels like we speed run through different metas.
I feel like even Solana though, like I mean, I guess Bohm was a later one that felt like it was a little bit more in the okay, let's create a meme coin stage. But even like I feel like the stuff that has a potential to show longevity is still like Bonk and Whiff, and like, yeah, maybe Bohm's in there, but the stuff that kind of happened a bit early on, you know, when it was still uncertain.
Yeah I even saw that Avalanche is going to be paying $1 million to LPs for its meme coin. Avalanche is going pretty deep in trying to get meme coins on its mm-hmm. ecosystem. I don't even know if this is going to work, but
I do want to go back to one thing though, because I have been more bearish on this ETF, and it sounds like Spencer is still giga bullish. And the person who is going to make the decision appears to be waging war against it. Like, and that to me feels like I don't know. I'm like, we've just had this massive rally on the back of like potential ETF inflows, and the person who is going to be making the decision is current, like in the process of waging war. Like, I feel like that's one side. And it sounds like Spencer's view here is that, well, BlackRock has never submitted an application that got rejected, so this will get accepted. And I feel like I'm not sure how those, they don't feel necessarily contradictory, but I don't know. I was surprised that ETH got back to 3,500 in the face of what felt like pretty damn bearish news against the single bull case that has been really driving that asset for the past 3 months.
It had to be fair, and I think Spencer, I think, would even agree, like, this is a non-consensus view. It is consensus now that it's not going to happen. I think Polymarket has it like 20-30% chance of it happening. But a lot of the price, it had underperformed for a while, right? Like Sol ETH moved unbelievably just as that those predictions started to nosedive, right? And then once it, now I don't know, let me check Polymarket now on the ETH ETF, but I imagine it's probably even lower than that right now.
I think that's a good bet at that level. I like that price on Polymarket.
Yeah, probably. But like this is the thing too, is like
22% chance that they're predicting it right now.
By May.
By May.
May 31st, which yeah. is the
okay,
the
bad May. Bad bet.
But like this is the thing, is like I think that we're talking about different things here. Like one view of mine is that I think there will for sure in the next like several units of time, we're talking like 1 to 4 year time horizon, be an ETH ETF, right? Now the contrarian view, and I don't think that that's super contrarian, right? The contrarian view is more like when, not if it's going to happen. And I think like the contrarian view of, I think it is actually pretty imminent, is like not super unreasonable, but also not like 100% view, right? I just think that like, it is healthier for that to not be priced in. Like the opportunity for there to be a strong rally because everyone thought it wasn't going to happen, right? Like one thing that I know about politics, one thing that I think is true of like seeing about people who are in politics, who are involved in government, is like you kind of have to take what they say with a grain of salt a lot of the time, because oftentimes like they're doing it for one reason or another. They want to look like they deliberated hard about it, or they want to look like they're tough on something before that goes through. Like you don't actually know, right? Like Gensler was super anti Bitcoin, right? Like for a period of time, and then was the swing vote to like make it happen. So I don't think like it. I guess Sam, what you're NFT stats, what you're saying is like I like, oh, he's super bearish, like he's gonna fight it hard. I mean, he hasn't won a single fight he's gotten into recently, so bullish. B, like, maybe he's just saying stuff. I don't know. Like,
I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he was ever that bearish on Bitcoin, though. I just don't remember his terminology and like, the wars he was fighting leveling against, like, what he's doing right now against ETH. Like, I don't remember what you're talking about if you're saying he was really bearish on Bitcoin. Certainly not in, like, the year running up to the ETF. And I'm not saying he's going to win. I'm just saying he doesn't seem like the guy who's going to vote yes.
So I agree. What I agree with Spencer here is, I think it's a when, not if. I think this is going to happen. It's more when. My view is it doesn't happen in May, and there is some posturing into the election. But after that, I think they'll probably lose another couple of court cases here, and it's just going to be like a complete disaster for him. It is interesting that there is some incentive here. Like Grayscale obviously wanted to fight. I mean, the Bitcoin ETF went through because of Grayscale, right? They actually fought in the courts and they won that ruling. I wonder who will be the one that fights the SEC here. Like, who takes them to court? Will it be BlackRock or will it be, because Grayscale's going through a world right now. Like, it's you know, losing all its funds and Genesis going through bankruptcy and DCG's, you know, Barry's about to go into jail. Like, it's a disaster over there. So who is the one that takes them to court over this if it does get rejected? I think it's interesting.
I don't think it matters. I honestly don't think it matters. All that matters is that BlackRock and Larry Fink are like the biggest donor to the Democrats, or like one of the biggest. Whatever he wants to happen will happen. Like, that's how American politics works, isn't it? Basically,
you like, think it happens? Play. So you think it does happen, or like, I'm a big
maybe not by May, but like, it doesn't matter who takes it to court. It doesn't matter. Like, Gary takes his orders from somebody, and that somebody is funded by Larry Fink.
Some people have said that they think that they can fight it because no one is there to like basically take them to court. I think someone in the ETH community will probably have to like fund this court case themselves in some sort of way. Whereas before with DCG, it made a lot of sense. They had like 20 billion plus Bitcoin and they wanted to convert it to an ETF. It made a lot of sense. There is no one with that crazed economic incentive to actually take the SEC to court here. So that is one thing that does have to be resolved. Like, who is that person who is going to, and I'm not saying it won't happen. I'm just interested to see who it's actually going to be. Like, somebody's going to come in and basically be like, hey, yeah, we're going to take you to court. And I don't think it's going to be BlackRock. I don't think it's going to be one of like the main TradFi ETF providers. And I don't think it's going to be Grayscale. So it's going to have to be somebody kind of rogue here coming in and decided to take them to court on this, which I think is going to be interesting.
Is the view that the Ethereum Foundation won't be that person or entity, or?
Well, the Ethereum Foundation, I feel like it shouldn't be them. I don't know if it should be them.
What is the trial that they're waging? And is that you have declared us a security, or you have not given us an ETF and we deserve one? Like, what is the trial?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the ETH is not asking for this ETF. It's the ETF providers that are asking for the ETF. So it would have to be basically an ETF provider who is incentivized enough to want to do this. And then I don't know if the ETH Foundation should be the one like funding that or not. Like, it just seems like I don't know. Someone's going to have to resolve that.
I agree, right? Part of the argument here is that ETH is not super centralized, right? And the existence of the Ethereum Foundation is like the counter argument to that. So if the entity that is funding it is the thing that you're trying to argue is not the centralized thing, like, I probably shouldn't. Now, could it fund it through like shadowier means? Yeah, but like, who's gonna be the face of it is kind of your point. I know, Amanda, what about you? Would you take the SEC to court for us? You're gonna be our champion. Take all your meme coin money, take that good rec guy funds and just plow it into, you know, the good fight with Gary.
Yeah, we're taking on dog with hat profits to take on Gary. I think it should be, like I said, I think it should be DC Investor. I think that guy just lives and breathes the ETH ETF every single day. He needs to come in and rally some troops. Maybe ARK would do it. Like, if they were funded by the right person, maybe they'd take him to court. Like, I can imagine them being more like crypto specific. But this is, you know, it's not just going to court. This is a bit of a war. Like, DCG basically really pissed off the SEC when it did it. So if you're gonna, it's not gonna be BlackRock or like, I don't know, Franklin Templeton that does this. It's gonna be someone a little bit random, I think, who decides to take the call.
Can be like when Peter Thiel financed the Hulk Hogan lawsuit to get back at Gawker News. Like, doesn't have to be the person who's incentivized.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, it's exactly the same as that.
It is.
Anyway, so yeah, it's been weird. ETH has been bouncing even after that headline. And I guess Solana activity is still really high. Less money, it feels like, being made. That's for certain. A lot of pre-sales have just insta-zeroed. And I don't know, there's blood on the streets in certain places there, but there's still unbelievable volumes going through. So, and the only real other story in I would say crypto broadly, Phantom, which is kind of a bit of an OG L1, big in the DeFi space. Andre Cronier, who like founded that chain, is kind of a DeFi god. He's come back with Sonic Upgrade, which is like a paralyzed EVM extra way to chart. Like, I don't know. It's just a new way to scale Ethereum. You've heard it here before. And that's going to be the big thing that people are getting bullish on. That's been the best performing coin other than a meme coin over the last month. It's up quite a lot. It's, I think it tested new highs or recently. Phantom. But a bunch of different crypto Twitter heads decided to get together. It felt like the real cabal, and decided that Phantom is going to be the coin that everyone gets behind. So that's been the one that I think people have been paying attention to. But other than that, it's been a bit of a not been that great for altcoins. I would say in general, most things are down. We can move on to
the wallet, right?
What did you say?
The Phantom, the wallet, right?
No. Phantom. Phantom.
All right. Phantom is, I betray my boomerness.
Yeah. To be fair, like, this is kind of it had a lot of TBL like back in 2021. And loads of people were like farming on it, and then it kind of just went to zero, basically. Like, no one did anything, and then they've kind of come back with a story not dissimilar to what we've seen with like Say or Monab, where it's like a new L1 with a way to scale Ethereum. And that one's definitely been the best performing L1 ever since kind of Solana slowed down a little bit. That's taken up. NFTs has been slightly different. Obviously, we continue to hit all-time highs in every single ordinals pretty much every single day. You have brief dips for about, I don't know, 24 or 48 hours, and then a new airdrop hits, and everyone gets another stimmy. And I think we've hit all-time highs in Puppets, in Monkeys, Quantum Cats. Every single one of the top collections is hitting all-time high. I know you pay attention to this a lot, stats, Sam. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this space right now? You said you were going to buy a dip in all of these collections. Did you actually end up buying any of these dips, or did they just run away?
I never talk about buying dips.
I thought you said you were going to buy some of the dips in ordinals, and then months ago.
No. Buying dips is cope, man. No one buys dips. People sell dips. They just say they're going to buy dips, which is code for I don't have the guts to buy current prices. No, buying dips is an illusion. But look, I think. Look, the narrative, I think it's got enough of a narrative that it can sustain attention for a fair bit of time right now, you know? And I think, I personally like NFTs. I like JPEGs. I think these are NFTs. It's a better narrative right now because the ETH ecosystem, aside from, you know, Pudgy's or Azuki, when people start talking about coins, it's like those NFTs will pump. But other than that, like, the ETH ecosystem just constantly has, you know, weights on its ankles. Sol is a little bit harder to get behind, but I think the Bitcoin narrative just makes it has some stay power. It has some real whales who really like it. And as you said, the fact that like more stuff gets dropped to these guys as people build out more kind of DeFi infrastructure on ordinals, it just means that like they're actually dividend paying assets. So I personally don't own many. I'm not that, I like just haven't bought a lot of stuff overall recently. But I do remember like when I was at ETH Denver, like every time I checked my phone, like Node Monkeys went up like another 0.1 Bitcoin. So I did tweet about them a fair bit back then because it was one of those times where I was like on the airplane and was like about to buy one. And then I realized like every NFT I've ever bought on an airplane goes straight down because the fact that I'm buying it on an airplane means that I have a ton of FOMO, which means it's like peaking. So I was like, I can't buy it on an airplane. And of course, because I didn't, it like doubled in 2 days.
I saw your tweet the other day, actually, I think it was yesterday, which was showing the rally in the large cap NFT market, which I thought was pretty hilarious. Like
the massive, massive rally.
It has been pain out there. Like, look at that. That's the rally that we saw over the last 24 hours that everyone said.
I think that was when Pudgy's was at like 11, so now they're at 14, so it might be a bigger rally, but
this is the year, right? This is start of the year. That's the start of last
year.
That's
the start of 2023.
Yeah. So if we started at 100 there, you're down about 60% on that. I mean, it was a nice pop, and there's obviously been certain collections which have bucked the trend here. But that is a wild, wild graph. But then you bring up DGens, and like I look at ordinals, and It is like 7 days in Ordinals, 30 days in Ordinals. Runestone up 150%, Node Monkeys up 50%, Puppets up 70%. Ordinals had OMB at that massive mint. R6 even up. Like everything is up 50 to 100% here. Like it is, they're really, it's just trading on its own, in its own universe, it feels like.
Yeah, this feels kind of like ETH NFTs felt when you had like a couple crowned winners. Like there's kind of like Bored Apes and Azuki and Moonbirds and Doodles. And like there was like a moment where it all just kind of rose together. And there was the sentiment that this was a long lasting narrative. And I feel like that's happening right now in Bitcoin. It's like these are the early crowned winners. And this is a story that people that has longevity. And, you know, there are a lot of ETH guys that haven't moved over yet. I personally think it's more ETH guys buying. I kind of divide the world more into JPEG and non-JPEG people than Bitcoin and ETH people. And I think that, you know, I don't think you have a ton of people who are like, I hated CryptoPunks, but I love Ordinals because these JPEGs are on Bitcoin. I think you're more like either pro JPEG or anti-JPEG. And it's just more are people from ETH transitioning over there than anything else. But, you know, it feels like, you know, these FOMO processes are gradual, you know, and
yeah,
you bring a few more people over.
There was a bit of a stimmy over the last 24 hours, which was this Dimension airdrop. You must have got some of that, Spencer. This another airdrop for Pudgy Penguins.
This was NIM, right? Not Dimension's the prior airdrop.
Right. Yeah. NIM, an AI gaming app. Like, what is this? I didn't even look into it. I just knew everyone made some money and everyone was happy.
No, I don't think the coin is actually out yet, right? I think everyone was just claiming and got a bunch of NIM. Yeah. Candidly, I don't know much about it. I also didn't know much about DIM either, and I got a lot of that one, so got a bunch of it. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to see, right? Like I was starting to think through like I should put together a chart of like what is the value of Pudgy plus all the airdrops, right? We actually see like DIM, despite me not knowing much about it, and probably because I didn't know much about it, has actually been performing like quite well, especially for people who like staked it and stuff. And so, you know, you see some pretty legitimate like airdrops happening, and I think that led a lot to the rise of the price of Pudgies like yesterday, right?
Yeah, that was part of the reason. I think people knew that was coming, obviously. And I was speaking to Luca in France about this, and we were just talking about, you know, like the future of all projects, and I was like, you're in such a good place. People just keep giving you free money, like. You don't need to, like, you should just keep doing what you're doing, like, do everything to, like, the, you know, you're crushing it on the consumer products business and the community building and the memes and all that sort of stuff. You don't necessarily need to run, because with these top projects, it now, particularly in a bull market, you just get loads of free stuff. Like, this is how many, you're going to get layer zero as well with the Pudgies, right? And there's,
I mean, it hasn't been confirmed, but, like, I would be shocked if we didn't. Right. Yeah. Like I think the three for me that seem obvious are Layer Zero, Barrachain, and ZK Sync. Right. And like, right.
Yeah, that's the other one.
Those three alone are pretty. Like, that's nothing. Like that's nothing small. Right. Like Dimension alone was like, I mean, it was like $8,000 or $10,000 a Pudgy.
Yeah, crazy. That is crazy. And then you don't have to also have the burden of like ApeCoin right now, where it's just like it is a burden for the whole community at the same time. Like everyone made money, but it would have been great if we just made money and then you didn't have to like, you know, build a DAO and then worry about how the funds are being spent and all this sort of stuff. Like let other people create the coins and just give them to your community for free. And that's kind of, I mean, that's the dream scenario, right? I was saying, and he was like, yeah, I think I agree. Like, if you can organize this sort of stuff, it's kind of wild. The other big community to benefit from this was the Parallel community, which is, I mean, this token's been on an absolute tear.
This one's crazy to me.
A lot of people saying this could go, you know, it is a $2 billion fully diluted market cap. It started just a few months ago. Was it two, right? In September, I remember Sobi. I mean, this was kind of around last cycle. So, oh, interesting. I thought it was around earlier than that, but I think it definitely was. People are saying this could go to like 100. Like this thing that it's kind of a mixture right now because they have some. It's obviously a tabletop game. I know you're big in that world, Spencer. But the idea is that they also have some AI component to the game, and they're also going to do like an AI airdrop. move to Solana. People getting very, very, very bullish on this as the one out of them all that could do well. What's your view on this, Spencer?
I think this is very interesting because it scratches an itch of specific narratives. Like, they've done a very good job branding this where you're like, I don't really know what this is, but like gaming, and like, I don't know what this is, but like AI, right? And like, that's a bullish thesis. If I don't know what this is, but it seems like an index play on AI. Like, I mean, call a spade a spade. A lot of the like trend followers who got it, or who are a lot of the crypto crowd, like got AI, you know, focused or whatever. And so crypto plus AI to me feels like a stronger narrative this cycle than like real estate plus AI was last cycle, where, or sorry, real estate plus crypto, where like you had virtual metaverse land doing super well for no other, where if you thought about it at all, you were like, this makes no sense. But if you didn't think about it, importantly, and you were like, ooh, land, lots of value in like real estate. Ooh, crypto, lots of value in real estate, in crypto, right? Like crypto real estate makes lots of sense. I think that's this meta, like, is like AI plus crypto. Wow. Like game plus crypto. Wow. Game plus AI plus crypto. Very good. Right. However, like, is the game very good? Like,
yeah.
Does it matter?
Spencer, just stay left curve, dude. Don't even inch towards like being in the middle here. I just feel like the more you think in this market, like the more you are setting yourselves back when it comes to a lot of the stuff that pumps.
I agree with that. This is the thing. In crypto, you realize it only really matters in a bear market if there are players. And until that point, I think we could run this thing. I own zero of this token. You can buy it on Coinbase. I think it was Coinbase, like a Coinbase Ventures crypto. And I don't know. I just feel as though AI plus gaming, and they're going to give you, like, I think they give you another coin, right? Like, if you stake your Prime, you're going to get their AI coin. That just feels like something that throw away the fundamentals book. This could go pretty high. Like, I saw this even yesterday with Reddit, right? Like, Reddit launched, and within about 5 minutes, everyone was like, this is an AI stock, and it went up 50%. Like, because they're selling their data, you know, to some of the AI companies. They're like, oh, this is actually an AI company, Reddit.
One of my favorite stories, I think it was on this show, that OSF said that Za or XAI was pumping because it had AI in the ticker.
Zai got the AI pump for a while there. So shout out to Sobi, doing great stuff as well. But yeah, out of all the stuff in gaming, let me just bring up the gaming space right now. You know, it hasn't been an amazing period for a lot of these over the last 7 days. Prime's higher again. Most things lower, but Prime seems to be the one that continues. Out of these, I don't know about a lot of these stories now. Like, IMEX is more like a L2 play. Beam, I like that for a long time. It's now run up to 2 billion. They need to like produce some games. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Zai. We're an investor in that.
Dude, how is Sandbox still on this list? That's what I want to know.
Nobody knows, man. Well, the one thing I always see on Sandbox is another big, they have huge unlocks every single week. Like, it is wild, the unlocks, because I think I don't know who buys that. Like, who's playing in the Sandbox these days? Wow, look at that for a chart, though.
Sandbox is still like top 15 of all NFTs. There's so much supply, and they still cost $500 each.
Gala's the one that always gets me, man. Like, that is a monster of a of a decrease in these. I don't know. Obviously, they do. You know, they sponsor a lot of stuff in the space, and they do a lot of different things. But I agree with you that it doesn't. Some of those older gaming coins, I just don't know how they come back. They may. I mean, Axie's done an okay job of it. Ronin's been a good play so far, as like the chain play of Axie, and they had the Pixels game, which came back pretty strong. But a lot of the other ones from the past cycle, that, you know, you can just tell they ain't gonna come back anytime soon. I think that was largely it for today's show. It does feel as though, I don't know, we bounced back slightly. Looks like we're now at 64K nearly on Bitcoin. Things not looking as terrible, I think, today. Hopefully we get a little bit of a better weekend. And yeah, we've bounced kind of across the board. So things are not going imminently to zero. Hopefully that we have an ETF inflow today. But look, guys, I've super appreciated you filling in. I actually think this is better than the normal show. Normally, like, I'm talking show. OSF's not saying a word. Everyone contributed. I like today's show. I really, really liked it. And yeah, we will see you again on Monday. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.